constrictions and all the rest, workers are unable to follow up until years later. But now with the new bounty hunters, if you don't pay your taxes, they're going to be right on you right away.
In these campaigns, what is very difficult to know with any degree of accuracy is to what extent these things really do penetrate into the home, whether they're really successful in getting these Maoist paintings and engravings and so on the walls of peasant homes.
It's really not particularly a visual drug. It has a lot to do more with relating to other people.
Okay, Ken, I'm going to ask you a hard question now, finally. The Buddha said that there were four indeterminate questions that couldn't be answered. Now, granted, this was 2,600 years ago, before modern science, etc., but I want to know if you can answer these indeterminate questions, and if your model answers them or leaves them open. So, the first question was whether the world is eternal or not eternal. He said, you know, these four questions, they can't be answered, it's a waste of time, move on. Eternal or not eternal?
Yes. As Yogi Berra said, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. One, they think you lose all individual motivation. You can't tell where your body is and the chair starts and stuff like that.
Chip, you get us to two points that
well, it's true that the rave scene has become more sort of organized and professionalized and commercial as well. Going to outdoor raves is an adventure, but you know, you can have a fantastic time, but the rave can be cancelled, it can be busted, it might be in a really horrible, dirty building. Increasingly, people, given the choice, will upgrade the money.
That doesn't have. If it does, it's due to something else. It's not that.
Morning. From nowhere, the name just pops into your mind. The name was.
No war, no act of revenge, no daisy cutters dropped on someone else's loved ones or someone else's children will blunt the edges of their pain or bring their own loved ones back.
Listen, before we start with anything, can I say something very sincere to you?
What are your pet peeves? What annoys you most?
I hate when you're stuck in traffic and a guy next to you rolls down the window and plays that boom, bang, ding, box radio so loud with a rap song into the guy is singing.
but internal difference where the meanings are. None may teach it any. 'Tis the seal despair, an imperial affliction sent us of the air.
Are the peasants really listening avidly to the...
That comes from balance. Balance, yes, you've heard the word many times. Balance, you've always been told to do that.
Club and pay a bit more and have a slightly more predictable experience.
And you hit a vein and that, you know, goes with it for a very long time, and then it may dry up and you'll move on to something else.
Who points out the original note that Roosevelt and Churchill signed appointing Eisenhower the Supreme Commander. We pass a documentary in which a corny narrator calls Ike a military meteor on the rise. And I think, who cares if he accomplished anything after BJ Day?
When it comes, the landscape listens.
Time Warner Audiobooks.
This one would be it. It gave me an unbelievable array of businesses, from aircraft engines and power generators. It's choice. Not long after the announcement was made, one of my friends walked into the High Hole, the local watering hole near headquarters, and overheard one of the old-time staffers glumly repeating into a martini, "I'll give him 2 years, and then it's Bellevue."
Notice that all these suchnesses appear and disappear. They keep changing. They come and they go. But if you get hung up on your particular form, I'll have to alter the language a little bit, because you see, your form makes a duality, whereas you are your form. You're what you're doing. Now, you think, for some strange reason, I must make that go on as long as possible.
Balance, what does it mean? Well, it's another word that has lost meaning in the razzmatazz and in the jargon of what is the New Age, which is another jargon word, unfortunately, sir. What's balance? Well, it has a few connotative meanings, eh? Initially, when you think of balance, you have sort of an uncomfortable all-inclusiveness comes to mind. Trust and harmony and balance, you know. Just add balance in there for good measure, makes it sound more complete, yes?
A lot of different things, and initially my work was... I think I had the social implications all through 85, say. Yeah. And then I wrote a lot about some domestic life,
right.
and relationships. And then I've gone back to doing the other thing with Tom Joad when I rediscovered that place in myself. And
but you can't jerk off in public. You see, that's where he made his mistake. You know what I mean? I mean, women can masturbate in public. You know, they do shit. You know what I mean? Guys, I mean, it's hard to be inconspicuous when your fist is going 90 reps a minute on your fucking dick. You gotta pick your spots.
Shadows hold their breath. When it goes, 'tis like the distance on the look of death.
And therefore you think you have an instinct to survive. And so the only thing anybody can agree about today, so far as the discussion of ethical and moral problems are concerned, is that we ought to survive.
Aristotle said, we need reforms, changes that will alter our situation, but we do not need tidal waves of transformation, of revolutionary change that will sweep aside all the corruption, because the corruption is not really there. Rather, we find, according to the reformists, what is there are vital institutions that...
What's the impetus for Tom Drew?
It began probably with Streets of Philadelphia, where Jonathan Demme really called me up and said he had a movie that he was making and he wanted a song for it, and I knew what the movie was about. I'd read a little bit about it, and I told him I'd give it a shot.
Should not be swept away. And recall the institutions that Aristotle emphasized, the institutions of family, of private property.
Drew me into that kind of work again, really.
Other meanings that come to you somewhat a nebulous suspicion, but it's something that you should do instead of having fun. As you're admonished by parental authorities to, by all means, do things balanced in some sort of moderation, or eat something from the four food groups, or...
My own mind, or there's excerpts from other movies that got cut and different.
Who is this?
Who the hell are you?
Don't get excessive or too unique or too different than anybody else. Something that your therapist might shout at you as you leave your last session. Be sure to be balanced. Eh?
I'm especially struck, among other things, by the use of the word slant in line one. There's a certain slant of light. Dickinson has another famous poem which begins, "Tell all the truth, but tell it slant. Success in circuit lies." And that's, of course, a formula for making metaphors or making similes. Characters come back from other movies. I'll get into that as we go, but... This was actually a very early, I call it memory, but obviously it was in a dream state. I remember being about this kid's age.
Berkowitz of Legal Seafoods.
Hi, honey, I'm on my way home.
Mom, Daddy!
Laura, stop it. You're calling my cell.
I don't have my cell phone with me. And now I'm starting to freak out a little bit. Because I usually have it with me at all times. You know, and I talk about it, and I don't have it with me. And now I'm going to start to go into that weird lack of cellular-induced anxiety disorder. Do you ever get that when, like, you leave the house and you're like, wait, fuck. The satellite doesn't know where I am. What if someone I don't need to talk to needs to get hold of me right now? They can't. What if I need to make a call? They can wait. I can't.
So, I think the writing is it's the blueprint of what you're going to do.
Don't tell things straight. Tell them obliquely or at an angle. The poem begins with a mere detail in the weather.
In other words, you sort of... It's the essence of your idea that you're going to try to communicate.
There is a lesson to be learned here after all. Mr. President, play to your strengths. Eisenhower's greatest achievement was liberating Europe. Your greatest achievement? Balancing the budget.
Probably younger, actually, 4 or so. And just sort of floating heavenward and holding on to my dad's 55 Chevy.
What'd you say?
Whatever that means. There's also a certain impatience around it, as though, I know, I should be doing it now, but I'll get to it. I'll do it later on, down the line. After I get fun and stuff and that sort of thing done, then I'll be balanced.
The way the light comes down in winter, a slant.
Therefore, certain forms of conduct have survival value and certain forms don't.
Gentlemen, to start our evening off, we'd like to present our master of ceremonies for the evening.
Is taking that thing and you expand it, performing it well sort of expands its boundaries and its power, and you flesh it out.
What a big surprise right before their eyes. Wishes do come true from saying we go. Presto, change, oh, that's a thing of the past. Winko, Winko works twice as fast.
Winky Dink and you, Winky Dink and me, always have a lot of fun together. winky ding, and you winky ding, and me. We are pounding and fair and strong and well.
What are you having? I'm having a calamari.
I enjoy the writing a lot, you know. I mean,
when you get too old to do anything else, then balance. Right? Balance. Right? It's thrown around like trust. It's thrown around like harmony. See, there are some sleeper energies that are in your vibration. Yeah, we talk of those, the big emotions, you know. You talk of anger and hurt and pity and fear as the major emotions. Yes, the big blocks of stuff that gets in your way. Then we talk about the bugaboo emotions. Yes, we've talked about those little bugaboo emotions that aren't so obvious in that way, but indeed tear away at you: anxiety, worry, doubt, confusion. As the bugaboo emotions that, in that sensing, you don't often see, you don't often experience overtly, but they're there. Yes? Well, we would suggest there are the powerful energies that you deal with in your vibration as well, energies of love and of gratitude and of forgiveness and various others that we have talked of over the years, for certain many, many powerful, dynamic, blockbuster kinds of energies. And then there are these subtle energies, these sort of subtle sleeper energies, as we call them, such as trust. Yes? It's thrown around a lot and doesn't really mean much of anything, and it's just sort of there, a filler word, in fact, as people look at it. Harmony is another, as they say, that you have a certain smile and a certain wispiness to your voice that when you say the word in that particular regard. Not harmony, but harmony. It's got to have that sort of quality to it to have any meaning at all, right?
Sweating here.
roasting, boiling, baking, sweltering. It's like a sauna, furnace. You could fry an egg on my stomach. Who let this up? It's ridiculous. Tremendous. Fantastic. Fantabidozy-tastic.
Hard, and it's always hard to write a good song, so you always need to have a new idea of some sort.
Meet again, metaphysics, meet again, quality control. Like a white man. Skills, it could be called. White man's munitions. Or maybe we should say white skills. Not so good in the fields, unless you got a lot of help out there, as it were, and still is. Metaphysics. Coming in the backside.
But that sort of thing, that's the release that you feel after you've done the writing. And
just one man's poison. Coming in from all angles on this one. All the varieties of you. Can't get away from it. Today's date and today's time. Go on to the next page. Flip them fast. No one will notice. Out of the pages of the seldom read, marginal, printed dialectics. And all that stuff in the drawers. Barely been read once. Out of that. Just one man trying to get along and get to be the right size. Limping along. On the edge of the thrill.
And then you're finally face to face and you're speaking to somebody.
NewMetaphysics.com, of course. Get your imprint into the 201 on you. Straight to Interpol. Who do you think's paying for this load? Of course, one man's face is another man's fancy. Whole world is a poem today. I mean, just look around, my friend. Can't have any more science fiction. That's over. I mean, you could have science fiction. Just don't tell anybody. And keep it from yourself, will you? For me, I'll have the calamari, thank you.
So do they have ruins down in Guatemala?
It's all ruins. Or it all will be, given enough time.
Oh, just like people.
Yes. But people decay more promptly than Mayan temples. I told Lee that I would meet him down at the station.
And what does your young man make of the Mayans?
Well, I have yet to inquire about his preference in lost civilizations.
Ah, but he must like ruins.
Yes, he likes me tolerably enough. We have reached an accommodation.
Well, that must be nice when sex can be so tolerably accommodated. You have a nice vacation, dear.
You too.
But I'm not going anywhere, remember?
A vacation from me.
Staying behind is not a vacation.
Envy and resentment, Joni, is only possible because you cannot see your own space-time location.
William, I see my space-time location, and I am angry about being left behind.
I thought you said Lucian and Alan were driving down to visit.
Well, if you really thought so, you'd stay to see your oldest friends, wouldn't you?
Well, very tempting, but...
But other activities are more tempting.
Goodbye, dear.
I wrote that song, you know.
To connect.
The other that is balance in that regard. Another word that, I know, balance, right. Another is such as enthusiasm is another one of those sleeper words, etc., that in that painting on the surface appear to be sort of these sort of little nemeses of feelings, etc., that don't matter much at all. But in that particular painting, in truth, are tremendously powerful energy. That tremendously powerful energy is unbalanced, like trust, like harmony. Is one of those sleepers that is a tremendous energy that can be used and appropriately used to create unbelievable realities, to generate in yourself an impeccability and an elegance about your reality creation that will astound you when you do establish it. So rather than being one of these all-inclusive nothing words, so rather than being something you better be suspicious of and wait until you get old to do it, we would suggest if you will open yourself up to consider and to explore and even to for a while try on balance, you will discover the dynamic energy that it is. You will discover the unique technique that it can become in the uniqueness and the elegance of your creation.
Nothing to be done.
I'm beginning to come around to that opinion. All my life, I've tried to put it from me, saying, Vladimir, be reasonable. You haven't yet tried everything. And I resumed the struggle. So there you are again.
Am I?
I'm glad to see you back. I thought you were gone forever.
Me too.
Together again, at last. We'll have to celebrate this. But how? Get up till I embrace you.
Not now. Not now.
May one inquire where His Highness spent the night?
In a ditch.
A ditch? Where?
Over there.
And they didn't beat you?
Beat me? Certainly they beat me.
The same lot as usual.
Same? I don't know.
When I think of it, all these years, but for me, where would you be? You'd be nothing more than a little heap of bones at the present minute, no doubt about it.
And what of it?
It's too much for one man. On the other hand, what's the good losing heart now? That's what I say. We should have thought of it a million years ago, in the 90s.
Stop blathering. Help me off with this damn thing, will you?
Hand in hand, from the top of the Eiffel Tower, among the first. We were respectable in those days. Now it's too late. They wouldn't even let us up. What are you doing?
And the speed by which you manifest the reality around you, rather than playing around and delaying and stalling in a world that is speeding up.
Picked up a guitar and band together and wrote that song.
Thank you. whole process.
But when you say to yourself, you must go on living, you put yourself in a double bind. Because you said to a process which is essentially spontaneous that it must happen.
As you recognize, that's our regular man on the street theme, and tonight's question is about a subject familiar to millions of Americans this week. It's been in all the newspapers, various parts.
It's like liquid. Slides all over everything. Comes up in waves. Wave after wave.
Say, what's it like then, Spain? And I'll say, it's hot. Hot. Oh, it's fucking hot. Too hot. Not for me. I love it.
Wow.
in our facing is not something that withdraws, that pulls you away from your experience, but indeed helps you dive into the midst of it, into the thick of it.
I am nothing in this future that we live in.
Who the hell are you?
Taking off my shoe. Didn't that ever happen to you?
Pretty certainly of codes of morality, trust, and love.
Your experience. Balance, what is it? Well, certainly so balance is a state of equilibrium, yes? You can look up in the dictionary and find that out. It's a state of equilibrium, but it is also a process of becoming.
I just wanted to come here.
To Winkies?
This Winkies.
Okay. Why this Winkies?
It's kind of embarrassing.
Go ahead.
To almost exhaustion.
To exhaustion.
To exhaustion.
State. It's a continuing expansion of what you identify with, and we've already looked at how you can move from egocentric to ethnocentric to world-centric, or you can be identified with just yourself, and then you might identify with your family, and then with a tribe, and then with a nation, and with all humans, and with all sentient beings.
I had a dream about this place.
What are you having? I'm having a calamari. Well, I didn't say much. I just listened.
She put a question to you.
Yeah.
Which was?
Here are author Sir Compton Mackenzie and Naomi Jacob, actress and author, both in their 70s at the time, discussing punctuation in 1961.
And I can't punctuate either.
Well, that, of course, only comes with long, toilsome practice. I mean, one only learns to punctuate, I think, slowly through the years.
Oh, well, I write it, you see, as I should say.
Well, I hope you don't throw commas about the pepper pot.
Well, if I do, my secretary takes
them
out.
She takes them out, but don't, poor girl, yes. She's got to keep on taking commas. Nothing more boring than deleting commas.
I remember once when I was in The Ringer. Do you remember The Ringer?
Yes.
One of Edgar Wallace's plays.
Yes,
and I remember Val Gilgood used to come into my dressing room and give me long dissertations about the use of the semicolon.
You would know. I could not go one more song. Is that it?
So, I don't know. It on certain nights, I suppose, you know. It was an outgrowth of just playing in bars, really. I think that a four-hour show was, when we did it, was something. There were only maybe a few other bands doing it, and it was something that didn't happen in a concert setting. But it happened every night in bars all across America.
And the basic form of the double bind, which is imposed upon all children, is you are required to do that which will be acceptable only if you do it voluntarily.
Most fearsome, formidable force of naval power that the world had ever seen. Think of it, 30,000 men, 2,400 pieces of artillery. And Hobbs records that it appeared off the coast of England in April of 1588.
You said,
"Well, she probably told you."
Tell me nothing.
Look dumb.
Look dumb.
It's like this.
Like what?
Retired.
Are ya?
Afraid so. But I haven't not got lots of money. I got enough. But I'll do anything not to offend you. But I can't take part. I'm not really up to it.
Not up to it?
No, I'm not.
I see.
I'd be useless.
Useless?
I would be.
In what way?
In every fucking way.
Why are you swearing? I'm not swearing. Listen, girl, I'm going to tell you a little story.
I know a bloke who knows a bloke who knows a bloke.
Hello.
Now, you know this bloke.
Do I?
This is a bloke you know.
Is that Mr. Logan?
Who's this?
Hello, Mr. Logan.
Hello.
What you doing?
Watching telly.
What you watching?
Nothing. Is that Stan?
Of course it is, you cunt.
Stan Higgins.
Wants me to put a team together.
8 men. Strong. I ain't afraid of graft. It's gonna take all night. Good boys. Gotta be good boys. reliable, positive attitude. It's very important. Very important. That's what we're looking for, Tom.
Who's behind this, Stan?
Who do you think?
Who do you think, girl?
I don't know.
Who?
Who?
Teddy.
Teddy.
Teddy Bess.
Mr. Black Magic himself. Teddy Bess.
A few months back, he gets invited to this party. Massive place on the Bishop's Avenue. Wild party. Orgy.
Orgy.
Said it was fucking incredible. Arses everywhere. Doing everything. Wanking. Spanking. Fucking. Cocaine. Camcorders. It's like ancient Rome.
How are you feeling, Teddy? Are you all right? Having fun?
Yes, I guess. What you staring at? And who's he fucking sitting next to?
Who's he fucking sitting next to?
Teddy, this is Harry. Harry's the chairman of Imperial Emblat.
Only the fucking chairman of Imperial Emblat. You heard of that?
No.
Of course not. That's because they're one of those sniffy lot. Don't need publicity, don't seek it above it.
The back of your head.
What do you say?
I'm staring at the back of your head.
Well, don't. Stare at the back of your own fucking head.
They're a bit like standard gradings, TMD. Remember them?
Yeah, safety deposits. Late 70s.
Don't see. Only these are bigger.
Much bigger.
Men and women.
Oh. Definitely.
Did you ever have the thing where, you know, when you swim in the ocean, you feel like you're still in the ocean at night? I always got this thing from drawing that, like, I would still feel like I was drawing, like, in bed when I was trying to sleep.
Like ghost drawing?
Yeah.
And the other guys doing 4 hours. They just weren't playing
and
for
more,
a stadium
know?
Full of people.
And more. And so, really, I think the length of the show came out of two things. Once I had a few records out, I wanted to play the songs that the fans wanted to hear, and I wanted to play all my new songs, too.
Yeah.
And then also, we gotten used to playing 3 hours, in minimum 3 hours in a bar, and you didn't feel like you'd done it in some fashion. And I wanted it to be an extreme experience.
So when we say to ourselves, you must go on, the reason is, you see, that we are not living in the eternal now, where reality is. We are always thinking that the satisfaction of life will be coming later. There's a good time coming, be it ever so far away, that one far-off divine event to which all creation moves.
That state. Balance is not only the state of equilibrium, it is the process of becoming in that state of equilibrium.
Sometimes we own the zeros, and sometimes we own the ones.
Identified with literally everything that's arising. It's identified with, in a sense, the soul of the entire cosmos. Identity is very plastic, it's very fluid.
Shoes must be taken off every day. I'm tired telling you that.
Unaccounted for. I love my cell phone.
To new subscribers in the continental U.S. Call.
Norton, you say you've dated a lot of black women.
Yes, I have. You have to understand something. I'm very good looking, so I've been out with a lot of women. I've been out with a lot of black people, and they're great people. Yeah.
I don't even know who I'm hiding from.
Think they should be allowed, you know, a little bit of leeway here. You know, either that or it's just going to get worse.
What is?
Well, I mean, we're going to have to legislate something. I think that what we...
These people know who I am.
It is a law that says, you know, we cut some slack for African Americans because they've been taking it in the shorts for so long.
Yeah, I gotta stay here. I gotta figure this out.
Chris Norton, who is an aspiring film producer, talking about Michael Jackson and why he ought to, people ought to get off of his back about, you know, having little boys stay with him. Because after all, Winona Ryder shoplifts, Pee Wee Herman fondles himself, Yasmin Bleeth gets busted for coke, Hugh Grant is has a hooker, etc., etc. White folks do a lot worse. 1-800-449-8686 is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. 1-800-449-8686. So white folks should know better because we've had the power for longer.
That's correct, yes, sir.
kind of embarrassing.
Go ahead.
I had a dream about this place.
Oh, boy.
You see what I mean?
Okay. So you had a dream about this place. Tell me.
Well, it's the second one I've had.
So figure it out.
But they're both the same. They start out that I'm in here, but it's not day or night. It's kind of half night, you know?
It is the process of becoming equal. In fact, balance is indeed an elusive term. And therefore you can understand perhaps why it's not so clearly, more clearly understood. Because you never have it. You will always be coming.
But it looks just like this, except for the light.
To be an experience that wasn't casual, was somehow that pushed at the limits.
And I'm scared, like I can't tell you.
But you never have it. No one is ever there. I'm balanced now.
Of all people, you're standing right over there. By that counter. You're in both dreams.
I'm gyroscopically balanced and nothing can... You're always becoming more. Always becoming more balanced. Balance is a state of being, and it is a state of doing, and therefore, by its very implication, involves the feminine and the masculine energy. But not in a state of equality. In a state of becoming equal. None of you is fully balanced, totally equal, male and female, female and male. You are becoming more and more, augmenting one and letting the other fall, and then bringing the other back and bringing it constantly in this state of trying to establish and reaching that balancing that you're looking for. Now it is more important to let the feminine energy rise and be there, and so that is more heavily influencing you, whether you're male or female. And now is the time to let that masculine energy soar and reach and stretch far beyond that which is the feminine, and therefore bringing it in and surpassing. All part of this balancing act, all part of this establishing an equilibrium, shifting, changing weights, shifting, changing emphasis, shifting, changing reality.
Thank you. Now, I thought that we're recording, in case you wonder what this mic is for, although I don't think I'm ready to record yet, or probably America isn't ready, but anyway...
and you're scared. I get even more frightened when I see how afraid you are, and then I realize what it is. There's a man.
Balance is something that you are always becoming, continuously working toward, never achieving. And perhaps that action, the difference between the stagnation of something that is balanced, boom, and the action of something that is continuously balancing, is the vital difference and perhaps the key to the secret of balance. You are never balanced, boom. You are always in the state of continuously balancing the various energies that are within you. Elusive, yes. Containable, yes. And the avenue, the way that you achieve, that you find, that you begin to discover, that you get on the scent and trail of this balance, through the masculine and through the feminine energy. And therefore, let's begin our pursuit of balance by very quickly, and we mean that, reviewing the principles.
In back of this place, people, you're standing right over there. By that counter. You're in both dreams.
Now why don't you listen to me?
Help me.
It hurts?
Hurts. He wants to know if it hurts.
No one ever suffers but you. I don't count. I'd like to hear what you'd say if you had what I have.
It hurts?
Hurts.
He wants to know if it hurts.
Now, I want to, we'll have an executive here from Disneyland Records, and I wanted to mention that because Brubeck made an album called, Brubeck plays Disney. We're going to call it Brubeck at Disneyland, but then there were a lot of hard boppers in the East that would have said that's where he belongs, you know, that group of critics. So they called, I know. So anyway, Disneyland, if you haven't been there, I just want to say a word about it, is this kind of Sodom and Gomorrah in Anaheim, if you haven't been down there. And it's pretty exciting. You didn't see that part? Oh, it's in back of the rocket. So anyway, that's right. You can park the adults there while the kids go on. Anyway, Disney is a wonderful man, and he's on television every week, and he has a program called Walt Disney Presents. And on the show, he has this film, which is a preview of a film that will later be shown in a theater. And last week, it was a film of people going into the park at Disneyland to get into the theater to see one of his television films, of people going into a theater to see one of his films. But one of those things he does. The first time I saw Disney was on the Mickey Mouse Club, which is the weekday show. I haven't seen the evening show. I don't feel I'm ready yet. Because on the evening show, he has the history of the United States, which he got a franchise to from the congressional level. And he has, he has people like Johnny Tremaine and Paul Revere and Tom Paine, which I felt was a mistake. But, see, Disney doesn't know anything about that because, you know, he's been with animals mainly and doesn't know anyway about politics and all, you know, and the left and all. Anyway, so Walt Disney was on, the way I found the Mickey Mouse Club was I was at home, see, and I was watching Mayor Polson on television. He's our leader downtown. And he was talking about smog, and he was talking about fallout within the smog, you know. And we have a lot of smog, as you know, you can tell. And he said that there's fallout within it, coming from Nevada, and that the government should do something about it because of strontium 90 and future generations and all that. And he said that the government should do something because the tests are in Nevada, and it would be under interstate commerce, you know, or the Mann Act, someone suggested. So to make it more interesting to people, so Disney said, well, Disney doesn't come into this till later. Mayor Polson said,
that the government should do something about these tests, you know, so then, because it was double danger within the acid and the smog. So the government didn't do anything about it, but Paulson said there's no telling what will happen if they keep testing these bombs every other day in Nevada, see? So he kept talking about mutations and all that jazz, so I figured, you know, it was kind of like left-wing propaganda. And, you know, and I have that attitude about the tests. I dig them because I think they're good for business, right? And I feel the United States is going to go ahead with bomb tests in synagogues and schools, right? Anyway, so... Anyway, I dig the tests, and I've always had that position that, you know, I'm not planning a large family anyway, right? So then, so while this is happening, you know, he keeps talking about mutations, and I said, well, you know, enough of this Buck Rogers jazz. So then Paulson was on, I was on Channel 7, see, the American Broadcasting Company. Then a station break comes at 4:45 he was on, and at 5 o'clock, the Mickey Mouse Club comes on by the strange coincidence, and these kids come on who are in the Mickey Mouse Club with these paper mache hats and have these ears made in the shape of their idol, their Mickey Mouse. They kind of, they have this kind of ritual in which they pay this reverence to this rodent who is their leader. So they're all standing. Well, you know, it's all right as long as they believe in something. So they're all joining arms and they're singing M-I-C-K-Y. The only thing is, there are like 500 kids, and if you've seen it before, you know, if you're like a mother and you have that every night, it doesn't bother you. But if you haven't seen these kids before, I ought to warn you that it might shake you up a little with these ears, especially. And you might not be aware that they're paper mache, and you might think maybe you ought to stop these tests after all. So, boy, eerie, huh? Very weird. So then Disney came on, and he told what they were trying to do at the park and how he's tied up with the American Broadcasting Company, which owns 17% or something of Disneyland, the amusement park. And he told a lot of things down there about some of the things they have, and they have a safe driving course in which, you know, you can go out the Santa Ana Freeway there, which is part of Disneyland, the freeway itself. And when you go in there, I saw a great accident on the Santa Ana Freeway near there where a Volkswagen hit a dog, and the dog walked away, you know, one of those. Anyway, the car was, like, ironed out. Anyway. So Disney came on, and he talked a lot about brotherhood and everything, and he talked about the citizenship program during the summer in which they have kids act as guides at Disneyland, you know, instead of delivering papers or something. So they have kids, you know, the mean age is about 8, and they act as guides because the other kids visiting the park have more faith in them, and then they can lead them through the park. And a lot of good kids, you know, who are learning citizenship, some of them, by working, whereas others have become involuted and bitter by working. And we're saying a lot of things that weren't planned for the air to Mr. Disney, like, you know, when are you going to let the union in? You know, and a lot of that. So, which I think is unfair because he doesn't know anything about that. You know, he's been with animals mostly. So, you know, the only time he ever had any union troubles was in 1947 when they had a strike in the industry and people were striking at his studios in Burbank, and his artists didn't know how to strike because they're inanimate. So they went out, right? They went out and drew pickets on his wall, right? And then he went out and drew Burbank policemen beating them. So anyway, it was very, with tear gas, very interesting, labor relations. So anyway, he talked about brotherhood on the show, Disney, and then he had this good dramatic values, and he had these kids with these T-shirts on, which are sold in the park for $1.50, which is cost, I understand. And they had his characters on them, like Donald Duck and Goofy and Mickey Mouse for some of the retarded people. And of the others, he has, like, you know, Davy Crockett and all those people, and Br'er Rabbit, which is a corrupt of brother. It's a regional dialect indulged in by groups, minority groups that have been kept into a cultural lag in these ghettos through the lack of enlightenment. Anyway, so they have these T-shirts, and then one kid was waiting out at the water fountain with a plain T-shirt his mother bought at the Broadway, and Disney was saying that they should play with him anyway, which I thought was pretty wild. Right? You know, because he said, at Disneyland, we don't penalize a kid, you know, if his mother is an agnostic, which is great. So, which, anyway, I'm not going to talk about this all night.
No! Broadcasts that are being sent through these wired networks.
There are the masculine and the feminine principles. We talked of them at length last month, but very quickly realized that there are seven qualities that relate to the chakra centers, that relate to the chakra centers of what is it is to be masculine energy, not male, and feminine energy, not female. The first of these qualities in the male energy, in the masculine energy, is a quality of willing, acting, manifesting, while on the feminine side, the balancing energy to that, the balancing energy to that masculine energy is.
I'll tell you what, Stan. That is fucking impressive, that place. I'll say that. Fucking futuristic.
Yeah? Doable.
Don't see why not.
You see, Gal, where there's a will, and there is a fucking will,
there's a way. And there is a fucking way. There's always a fucking way.
That of imagining, that of feeling, and that of desiring. That of desiring. These energies speak to the security, to the first chakra, to the first energy that is within you. To begin your pursuit of awareness, to begin your journey of growth, by whatever name you give that growth, you must begin with will and action, and with manifestation. You must begin with imagination, feeling, and desire. The second energy that is masculine is the energy that creates form to force content in order to fill the space or the context of your life. Whereas masculine energy creates form to force content, feminine energy, on the other hand, gathers content to force form. Masculine energy creates form to force the content. Feminine energy gathers content to force the form. The feminine energy is working to create the context, while the masculine energy has been working to fill it. The third quality that is the masculine energy, as you remember from when we spoke before, is that masculine energy is constantly shaping and reshaping, forming and reforming, structuring and restructuring, all for the pursuit of new form, new structure. Whereas the feminine energy is creating and then allowing itself to be created, nurturing and allowing itself to be nurtured, loving and allowing itself to be loved, just to create. Not to create form, but just to create. And these energies relate to the third chakras, the chakras that are dealing with the expression of interaction. See, the first chakra is that of security, and therefore that of will and action, and imagination and feeling, that of manifesting, and that of desiring behind that manifestation. The second chakra is that of pleasure, and therefore has to do with creating form to force the content, or in gathering content to force the form, to fill or to create the context, the ambience, the state of being and doing in your life. Has to do with all kinds, therefore, of pleasure. Third chakra, that of interrelationships, interrelating with others and you and your world. The emotions, yes, but those emotions of interaction, which have to do with forming, reforming, nurturing and being nurtured. Creating new structure and creating. The fourth energy that is masculine is an energy that we call dynamically creating, explosively creating, powerfully, quantumly creating. Where ba-bam, something is in your reality. Whereas the feminine energy that corresponds to this fourth chakra concern of love is that of the abilities. We call them the abilities. The abilities to create, the ability to act, the ability to love, the ability to any number of things. The abilities, not the actions themselves. The dynamic creation, the self-love manifestation, and the abilities to even do that. The fifth energy that is masculine is the energy that seeks and searches meaning, understanding and meaning in life. While the feminine energy that corresponds is the energy that allows perception.
And you're scared. I get even more frightened when I see how afraid you are, and then I realize what it is. There's a man in back of this place. He's the one who's doing it. I can see him through the wall. I can see his face. I hope that I never see that face ever outside of a dream.
And that deals with expression. Fifth chakra. Expression. A natural state for the male energy number six is to provide. To provide from the earliest cave people. We didn't say caveman. The earliest cave people, there was the urge in each of them to provide. Men to provide and women to provide. That urge is the masculine urge that is present in both of you. How that urge is expressed may vary, but the urge itself is the masculine energy to provide. And the desire to protect is the masculine energy. To provide and to protect, whether that is done by a man or a woman, is a masculine energy that you both have equal rights to. None of you need to be disenfranchised from that right to provide, that right to protect. It is not reserved for one sex over the other. The feminine correspondent to this sixth chakra intuitiveness, automatic instinctive nature, is to balance.
That's it.
So, you came to see if he's out there.
To get rid of this god-awful feeling.
Right then.
Bring things into a state of equilibrium, to constantly be seeking that sense of balance. Whether a man or a woman be the facilitator, conciliator, it is a feminine energy that seeks that balance. And finally, the spiritual energy to do and the spiritual energy to be. And these are the principles. These are the energies. Seven of them that are masculine, from that energy to will to the state of being. Seven of them that are feminine, from that state of imagination to that state of being. From will to doing, from imagination to being. These are the principles, these are the energies, these are the vibrations that comprise that matrix that is masculine and that matrix which is feminine. And these energies, in their configuration, are available to all of you.
This goes back to 1959. I was working in Vernon, California, and I was having some difficulties. So I was seeing a psychiatrist at the time. And after the second or third week, and I used to sing three times a week, for whatever reason, on Friday night, I'd get into my car, I'd drive to the airport, and I'd go to Vegas. And I'd start gambling. And I really gamble. I mean, I started with a couple of bucks, but I really... this went on for 5 or 6 months. And one of the basic problems that I had was at the beginning I was a winner. The very first day I walked into the Stardust, I remember this very vividly. I went up to play... I didn't know anything about craps at the time. I went up to play Keno. And I played Keno. My very first round of Keno, I put down $2 and picked 10 numbers.
And I walked back to something neat, and I looked at the board of the Stardust, and I saw that five of my numbers were up there already lit. I knew I'd get 2-1. That was $4. So I walked back toward the cage, the cashier cage, and I gave him my slip. I didn't look at anything else. And he took, he says, just a minute. And he went back into the room to check the numbers. And he comes back, he says, you're a real winner. I said, of course, I got $4. He says, yeah, sure, you got $4. And he takes out $100 bills. And he starts, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He hits 26. I was with a friend by the name of Frank DeSalvo and his wife Dolly at that time. They gave me $2,600 because I hadn't looked at numbers. I actually hit 8 numbers, which gave me 13-1 odds. I got $2,600 instead of 4. And in my celebratory move, I took $100 and gave it to the cashier. So Frank looked at me, he says, schmuck, he says. You think they give you money when you lose? Why'd you give $100? You give me $100. Okay, so I kept going back, and I kept seeing the psychiatrist. And I have to tell you the truth, it never helped. I stopped seeing the psychiatrist, and I started going to Vegas 3 times a week.
What a big surprise right before their eyes. Wishes do come true for saying we'll go.
Is the little red book really read around the dinner table in the way that it used to be, the Bible used to be read in Protestant homes and so on? Perhaps you've had some...
Well, what I gather mainly is just partly from observation, you know, because you can walk down the street and see, but partly from the stories the Chinese are writing in the press, in which they ask people to emulate these extraordinary examples where this desirable conduct of studying the little red book in unison and examining each the faults and how we have each behaved this day, and how they say, well, these are good examples, and if they're good examples, there must be an awful lot of people who aren't meeting that standard. And another thing that I think that you're overlooking is that when you've heard sailing the seas depends on the helmsman 50 times, you no longer hear the words, you no longer even hardly hear the song. And you're bound to hear it during the Cultural Revolution. You had to hear it in the cities 10, 20 times a day.
We're looking at Saturday, but you're needed in London this Friday.
It's a bit sudden, isn't it?
Sudden? No, it's very far from sudden. Teddy's been working on this for 5 months. Dan, almost that. I've been in on it for 2. It's not sudden. Preparation, preparation, preparation. As far as the actual job's concerned, it's a piece of piss. A monkey could do it. That's what I thought of you.
Cheers, Don.
You're at the Grosvenor. Your name's Roundtree. Light Smarties, light Shaft. If they give you a pull, just over here, see some friends, social visit, family, that sort of thing. Somebody will call you, pick you up, probably Mike. What's that supposed to mean?
What?
That stupid nodding you're doing.
Is this a fuck-off, girl? No, of course not.
Are you saying no?
No.
Is that what you're saying?
Not exactly.
What are you saying?
Whether you choose to be a man or a woman does not matter. You have access to all of these energies.
The limits, and so I wanted that extremist, and I wanted people to see, to be brought to some place and to come out of themselves.
If Michael Jackson wants to sleep with little kids, that's okay.
No, it's not okay, but his punishment shouldn't be as bad.
Well, what should his punishment be?
Well, I think a fine or something, or a public service. But remember, Phil, like a baby who isn't familiar with fire and how it can burn until he sticks his hand in it, black people don't know what sex with a young child is that bad until they do it.
You might button it up all the same. True.
Never neglect the little things of life.
Don't kid yourself.
War cannot avenge those who have died. War is only a brutal desecration of their memory.
No. Is that what you're saying? Not exactly.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying thanks and all that. Thanks for thinking of me.
I should talk about, like, you know, I could talk about a lot of things, and I sort of want to, you know, share a little bit about myself before I just start railing about bullshit.
And
you know you say you know black people.
Yes, sir.
And you say that you are sympathetic with them.
Yes, sir. I've been out with a lot of black women.
All right.
Is this a fuck off, girl? Well, of course not.
It can grow and grow and grow until it's identified with literally everything that's arising. It's identified with, in a sense, the soul of the entire cosmos.
As the Hindus have taught us, in the course of time, everything gets worse. It eventually falls apart. Comes Kali Yuga and Shiva at the end, and boom! Which is to say, only suckers put hope in the future. You see, I tell you, there are three classes of people in the Western world.
And they're there for you to discover, for you to explore, for you to bring into harmony.
This scene is a shift from one, like, from me to Jennifer. It sort of becomes, I mean, a lot of people say they can't even tell the first time through that it's different animators, but if you're paying attention, you can tell that, like, a major shift in style takes place there.
Are you saying no?
No.
And to be there, you know, so.
Would you test out songs at concerts, or did it have to be perfect before you would perform it in front of a lot of
people? We played, probably Born to Run, we played quite a bit before I ever recorded it in some slightly different versions. In the earlier days, you'd go out and if I had something I was excited about, I'd come out and play it, you know. And so I think that there was initially a lot of audience. I don't know if it was a test, but it was just something you were excited about doing. If you had a great riff, you wanted to hear it that night. You know,
yeah.
If I had most of the words that went with it, sometimes I'd give it a shot, you know.
Is that what you're saying? Not exactly.
What are you saying?
I'm just saying.
Just at the time that Hobbes was born, the metaphor that we're using for Hobbes's birth, the way in which this story of Hobbes's birth relates to his entire philosophy, is important. So we want to look at the way in which one of Hobbes's chroniclers, biographers, describes this critical moment of his birth. This is John Aubrey, writing in Brief
Lives.
He was a contemporary
of Hobbes, and he says the day of Hobbes' birth
was April the 5th, 1588, on a Friday morning, which that year was also Good Friday.
Thanks and all that. Thanks for thinking of me. But I'm just going to have to turn this opportunity down.
No, you're just going to have to turn this opportunity, yes.
And as you bring them into that state of harmony, as you allow them to work together, not being one or the other, but allowing them to work together, you create a harmonic that is you.
That is you. A tone. That is you.
The production of this was incredibly fluid and very free with
exactly match fit.
Seem all right to me.
No, not really, Don.
You look fine.
I'm not.
Do the job.
What?
Do the job.
No, Don.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
I can't.
You can.
I can't.
That cunt.
Don, don't do this.
Do what?
Look.
What am I doing?
Of these seven matrices, seven components of one matrix, combined with the seven components of the other matrix, the two matrices come together to form you.
This.
This? This what?
Come on, Donald.
There's a boy looking at us.
Tone. A harmonic tone that is you. That tone, when then stretched and shrunk and worked this way and worked that way, moved this way and that and the other, is what leads ultimately to the state of balance. And out of that balance can come the symphony or the full tonation, the full self that is you. As you begin to understand these energies and start to detach them from men and detach them from women and allow them to be energies, to sense these masculine energies are something that all women have available to them if they will but use them, and to sense these masculine energies as energies available to all men if they will use them, as well as seeing the feminine energies similarly available to both women and to men. If you will but tap in, if you will but avail yourself, if you will but open your arms to embrace these energies. That you've chosen to come in male doesn't mean that you've chosen to work only with those and subliminally with the feminine energy, or that you've chosen to be a woman, vice versa. You've chosen, as human beings, as sparks of consciousness, as pieces of God, Goddess, all that is, you have chosen to work with all 14 components.
What are you having? I'm having a calamari.
Everything you're saying here makes black people sound like idiots who are socially retarded, who don't know that a child being molested is a bad thing.
No, I didn't say that.
Well, yes, you did.
Well, what do you expect? You always wait till the last moment.
The last moment. C'est long, mais ce sera bon.
Fly the Goddess. Multi-sex plugs for your laptops, international mini-meals, unlimited plague-free air, no bloody babies, and extra knee room for your extra knee.
and rather than squaring off against each other, rather than getting proud of those feminine or proud of those masculine or embarrassed by either of those energies, learn to understand them, learn to embrace them, learn to reach out. To balance after you've established the harmony. Now what happens here? What happens here is this. These energies, and we'll start with the masculine, these energies that are the masculine energy, all seven of them, connect and fit together. They work in a certain relationship with one another. To will, to act, to manifest, to create what? To manifest what? Form. Form that you're forcing to establish a certain sense of content so as to fill the context of your life. And then to what? Shape and reshape. Form and reform so as to create new structure. To create new structure to hopefully force new content to fill even more of the context of your life for the purpose of dynamically creating. And out of that which you dynamically create, to seek and search, to sift and sift through, to try to find an understanding, a meaning, so as to be able to provide and protect and do. Those masculine energies fitting together.
Now this chairman's not as big a prick as he looks. He knows who Teddy Bass is, what he is, what he's up to. Does he care? Does he fuck?
Thank you, Van Aaron. I've been looking for somewhere safe for that. It's been in the family for ages, donkey's years, generations.
Why? Because the place is impregnable. It's got one of the most elaborate security systems in Europe.
Well, thanks, Teddy. Thank you for choosing us.
Some modern fortress.
No, it's perfect for me. I'm well impressed. I feel very safe. Well, rest assured, Teddy, we are very safe.
Very comforting to know that, Harry. Nice doing business with you.
See you around.
Metaphysics. No muni laws around to fuck our style up. We can bear all around here and still have the right to pay taxes on these shit box. Here are guys from in doing some stand up right now. Slightly askance from all the things. It's about as upright as I can get. Various numbers and number identifiers. String those along for a moment. I'll lean on that. And Gary at newmetaphysics.com, of course. All weekend. Twere it only so easy. But then you face the bright light of Mr. Day and gotta go askance and bend over a little bit. Sidling to your place of legal plantation, occupation, employment in the get a job world today. It's variable though. Can be altered. Mountain Radio also. If the air is thin enough, some people really dig it like that. Of course, so many frequencies. Not enough intimacy. The world today. The world today.
I didn't know. I said the punishment shouldn't be as bad.
But Michael Jackson knows that what he does is bad.
He probably does, but I'm saying because of the way black people have been put down for century after century, he should have a fine.
And Winona Ryder, who shoplifted some money, or shoplifted some fur coats, what happens to her?
I think she should go to jail.
So a guy that fondles a kid gets a fine. How much is the fine?
I don't know, sir. That depends on the court. I'm trying to equalize things here, because I'm tired of Michael Jackson getting dumped on, and I'm also looking very much forward to the documentary tonight that shows that he's, you know, got his act together.
I love it. It's my friend. My cell phone has Bach, Beethoven, Wagner on it. Little snippets of classical genius being heard the way they were meant to be heard. And a small handheld communications device hundreds of years after the death of the composer. Have we no respect for genius? What the fuck? Beethoven wrote symphonies to be heard in symphony halls. What do we do with it? Beep, 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 beep. Want to hear it again? Beep, 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 beep. Isn't that great? Beep, 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 boo. It's Beethoven.
Isn't that where you want to be at midnight when the big eyeball drops on those sub-millionaires 30,000 feet beneath you? Goddess Air, she'll get you there.
Hello? Don't worry. Number 6 in a series of good-natured programs designed to address your profoundly unreasonable fears and mindless superstitions.
That changed a little bit as we went on. Yeah, if I had a new song I liked, I'd come out and play it. You know, I played The River before it was recorded, and it was, you know, you just felt it had an urgency that you wanted it. You know, tonight's the night. I gotta sing that tonight.
Confront the millennium, aka the end of the world.
All right.
I love you, girl. You're lovable. Big lovable bloke. Lovable lum, lovable lummox. Girl dove, party boy. Big oaf. So I wish you all right.
No. How is she?
Well, is she? She looks it, still looking after herself. Climate obviously agrees with her. Still going for a laugh? Honestly, when I think of all the birds you could have had, you had to pick her. Girl dove. Girl fucking dove. Dove the love, glamorous girl, big girl, gorgeous. Used to have a great body, great physique. Handsome, birds loved you, couldn't get enough. And you wind up with that. Dirty Dee Dee.
I love her with all my heart.
You know Vicky Raisins, the Maltese pornographer? He's an old man now, but he's still operating just off the old Kent Road. He tells me Dee Dee's still got a fan club. They meet up first Tuesday of every month. The Wednesday Wank, they call it. Yeah, they're in big demand nowadays, those old Super 16. She's very popular. Oh, yeah, it's very popular. You seen them?
I've seen them.
Dearie me, what a stain on your life, eh? All the purse in the world couldn't shift it. She's disgusting.
What are you having? I'm having a calamari.
Can provide a full complement of activity. A full day. A full week. A full month. A full life.
And that's our program for today.
Of activity. Those energies also fit together to form what is called an archetype. An archetype of male Nash. The acephalon, moving, flowing, fluctuating, changing, expanding, contracting energies, vibrations, formless vibrations, come together and generate a form, generate a mold, generate an idyllic model, generate the perfect model, the perfect mold, the perfect form, the archetype of male Nash. And therefore, there are certain principles, certain energies, certain qualities that provide the mold for male. Now, not in terms of body structure and size, but in terms of what it is to be male. What it is to work with that male energy.
Get him, baby. He gets in bed with you. It's like he's got a fucking checklist. He gets in bed. He's right. All right. Let me see over here. Tits, lick them, check. Neck, bit it, check. Ears drooled all over them, check. Squeezes your ass, two pumps, he's out cold. But you see, honey, you're married and you're gonna have children now. So you got the upper hand. So next time you're laying in the wet spot, and he's laying next to you, drooling, farting, burping,
doing all the lovely things you admire about him.
You got your checklist, and you take it out. All right, you piece of shit. Divorced in 9 months. Check. House will definitely be mine. Check. That this idiot's gonna be making payments on will be mine. Check, and I'll have a new boyfriend with a real cock. A big fat vein laid in, blood engorged, meat mashing, loin lashing, cunt crashing cock!
do you rank The Wish?
That was a funny song because it was after it was a song about my mom, which was I wrote a lot about my dad, you know,
this was the only song you wrote about your mom?
Yeah, it was really, yes it was, you know.
This is the person
directly.
This is the person most responsible. Yeah. For your career.
Yeah.
A $60 electric guitar. Way back when.
So what does that mean? You know,
yeah, exactly. Sure, you know.
What it is to become aware of the man within each of you. The archetype is not real in your illusion. It is an ideal. It is the perfected state. It is what you strive for but will never accomplish, but become more of because of your striving. But none of you will become the archetypal male. Though some have tried. None of you will ever become that perfect male. Because it is not real here in your illusion. Because your illusion is illusion. The archetype, however, is real outside of your illusion. There is an archetypal energy, the perfect man, the perfect male. That perfected state, that model, that mold. The biblical references speak of it as Adam. That somehow God created this perfect mold, not the first human being, but the perfect mold of the perfect male. Other religions refer to it by other names, but each has the origin not of humanity, but of the perfected state of humanness in the form of male. And it is there. And there are qualities that describe that energy. The first of which, taken from the energy that is masculine, is that of will. Will. As a vibration, as a frequency, as an action. Which is the second word that describes this archetype. Action. The third word is understanding. Or if would understand. And the last word is meaning. These are the four cornerstones of the model, the parameters of the model, of that archetypal energy that is the perfected state of male energy or maleness. Not of man, of male man. Well, the feminine energy on the other side similarly does not just lie there dormantly. But those seven energies also interact and interrelate and work upon one another. Indeed, that imagination and that sense of feeling and that sense of desiring leads to the gathering of content so as to force the form to create the context of life, the set in setting, the ambiance that is life. And in that ambience, there is that sense of creating and being created, of nurturing and having enough power to be nurtured. And out of that comes the ability to act, the ability to create, the ability to love, so as to allow perception, so as to allow the perception to come in. And from that allowed perception, obviously the state of balance and the state of being evolved. So these seven energies similarly are not disconnected but are connected and are not just lying there dormantly but actively moving, pulsating, in and out, expanding, contracting. And out of that contraction, expansion, out of that activity is born the mold, the model, the energy that is female, that is female, that is male, this one, that is female. Not woman, not man. The archetypal energy, the perfect energy, which no woman is, and no man is, but all are striving for, is the archetypal energy of that feminine energy, that female mass, which is represented similarly by four concepts, taking from what has already been said about it, imagination. Feeling. Conception. And perception. The four basic cornerstones, the four parameters of the model, the archetype of what is female. To begin to glimpse balance, to begin to understand balance, you must know not only the principles of masculine and feminine energy, but the archetype, the core, the parameters, the boundary of that which is male and that which is female. And this is the best way to express it in that regard. And what you'll notice here is that these energies, in fact, never are separated. Now, wherever there's will, there is imagination. Many will tell you to the contrary. Some will teach you indeed that their will and then they have imagination and the two are somehow at odds with one another. The two are somehow separate. The two can function independent of one another. But in fact, that is not true. There's a saying even that wherever will and imagination come up against the other, imagination always wins. But you see, that's an interesting statement, but it's not true because it never happens. Will and imagination never come up against each other. They always work together. Wherever there is a strong will, think of it yourself, think of it in your own energy, and you really get determined, right? Whether that's power of will or willpower even, in a lesser form is willpower. Willpower is the grunt of life, yes, the grit, the dig in, burrow in, drop out your draw and do it, right? That's willpower. Struggle, hardship, all that sort of stuff. Whereas the power of your will is a totally different concept. That is, in a sense, seeing this gem of yours called will and letting it radiate a power. Rather than having to push the chain up the hill, you can pull it up. But we would suggest the difference there is broad. But still in all, wherever there is a will, whether it's in the form of your willpower or in the power of your will, it doesn't matter which, there is always a very active imagination. Think of the times that you've been determined. That you were going to get what you wanted, no matter what. What you wanted, you could vividly imagine. You could see it. You could hear it. You could practically taste it. There was no lack of imagination involved when you were determined. When it was yours, I'm going to have this or else.
Sir, I'm afraid you can't smoke.
What do you want?
Your cigarette. You have to put it out.
Cigarette? What? This? No, I'm not going to put it out.
You must.
What's that?
If you don't, we can't take off.
Well, that's your problem, isn't it? It's your move.
I'm afraid you
can't... No, I'm not going to put it out. You're just going to have to wait till I've finished it. Simple as that.
Why don't you just put the cigarette out?
What's that, Sancho? You want me to cut your hands off, use it as an ashtray? Yeah, I'll put it out, providing you're prepared to let me stub it out on your eyeball. I'll put it out. Agreeable? No.
Here come the gay brigade, look.
I'll tell you what. I'll get off the plane. You happy with that? I'm happy with that. I'll smoke it outside. Open the door.
I hope this crashes. Open the fucking door!
Hello?
Yes, it is.
It's all over. It's all over.
All right, you live, you learn, I guess, man. I guess that's what desensitized environmental radio sounds like, I guess. It's certainly weirdly cool. Hey, Mr. Producer Man, you there?
You boxed.
All right, I got an idea. You got another one of those that's long enough for me to take a whiz behind?
Bob, if you're short enough, it's long enough.
I'm out the door.
Shake it.
Fly the Goddess Air Plush Bus and leave the luxury to us. It's the end of the world in air travel. From the dizzying disorientation of its gyro seats to the old world fermentation cushions and drop-down ale masks, you may not know where you are, but you'll never forget how you got there. Goddess Air, let her take you for all you're worth.
Hello, don't worry.
Number two in a series of jolly good programs designed to confront your shallow, infantile phobia.
Yes, and today we pop yet another paranoid pinata as we take a good, hard, full monty at your fears of eyeball hats.
It's a silly, semi-sentient fixation that quite ignores the clear and unpleasant danger of the mumbling millennial morons beneath the hat.
But it's the eye and the ball, you see, the one, the one in the sand. It's the nose. El Cipher!
And that's our program for today.
It's the code! Ebola! The virus is eating us!
Somebody calling you up, trying to sell you some piss in an unwashed jar. Sometimes it is. You can't buy everything, even though we're trained just to do that. All night while we're sleeping, the waves come in, suggesting
the girl is still missing.
Like the ocean keeps coming in.
Talk to me.
The same.
Those that were prisoners of war, who survived, who had the will to survive, did so with an imagination extraordinaire. Those that didn't, who didn't have the will, also didn't have the imagination.
and similarly in reverse. Think of the time that you have been highly imaginative. Think of the times, and that's why we work with meditation with such high level of visuals, to activate that imagination, because you know what? When your imagination is activated, so is your will. So is your will. And when we describe a scene in meditation with such minute detail to the twill of the smoke, your imagination is engaged. And even though you don't know it, so is your will. And that's why we use such detailed visuals, to engage that will. Because whenever you actively imagine, you will. Think about that, we'd say imagine that, but to think about it, the last time you were vividly imagining something, perhaps it was lying in bed this morning, imagining something of the day or the week or of your dreams to come true. Perhaps it was something you wanted, something you wished for. Think about it. When you really imagine it, and we mean really imagine it, not just sort of airy-fairy, wispy sort of nothingness in that particular regard, some sort of wimpy little imagination, but we mean real gusto imagination, there was a tremendous will behind it. There's a tremendous will. They never work apart. They never work apart. Will is always underwritten by imagination, and imagination always supported by will. The second two qualities, action and feeling. Action in the form of thought, in the form of your activity, never functions without feeling. Here again, in your world, you are told, you know, have a strong will and imagination separated, and you're told similarly, feel. Just go with your feelings. Don't think, don't act, just go with your feelings. But the spiritual person is passive. They sit and watch the world, and they just go with their feelings. They go with their heart. And that may sound nice, and it does sound nice, we admit, but it's not true. It doesn't work that way. You can't feel without thinking, and you can't think without feeling, and you can't act without doing both. You can't act without doing both. You cannot take a step. You cannot even move your body. You cannot even scratch an itch without thinking and feeling.
Does that mean it only comes out of sort of pain and not out of joy and not out of what?
No, it's so complicated. I mean, I could get on the couch here and we could go on about it.
8, 2, 1.
Aristocrats, the proletariat, and the bourgeoisie.
ZYX and WVU, DSRQ, DOMMLK, JIH. G-F-E-D-C-D-A, we say the
alphabet. It's complex, a trouble to learn too, but you can do it, put your mind to it, that's the way. Now everybody say it, you can do the backwards alphabet. It's handy to know the words that may go exactly the same from front to back. How else could you spell L-E-E-L? On the level, ain't it the devil? Why don't you give it a whack?
Have also turned a blind eye to the recent state-supervised pogrom against Muslims in Gujarat. It would be absurd to think that those who criticize the Indian government are anti-Indian, although the government itself never hesitates to take that line.
Contact with the media and would love a great story about idea theft, and I have all the emails to prove everything that I would say. Come and get me.
Maybe
I have
some
a story to tell.
Maybe some.
It is dangerous to cede to the Indian government or the American government or anyone for that matter the right.
Some without hesitation. He almost never went out. He dined and lunched in his room. His face was scarcely known in the bar. On the night in question, he came downstairs to make a telephone call from the office. A closed cab stopped in front of the tavern. The driver didn't move from his seat. Several patrons recalled that they were wearing a bear's mask. Two Arlequins got out of the cab. They were of short stature, and no one failed to observe that they were very drunk. With a tootin' of horns, they burst into me office. They embraced Griffiths, who appeared to recognize them but responded coldly. They exchanged a few words in Yiddish. He in a low guttural voice, they in high-pitched false voices, and then went up to their room. Within a quarter of an hour, the three descended very happy. Griffiths, staggering, seemed as drunk as the others. He walked tall and dizzy in the middle between the masked harlequins. One of the women at the bar remembered the yellow, red, and green diamonds. Twice he stumbled, twice he was caught and held by the harlequins.
Moving off toward the inner harbor, which enclosed a rectangular body of water, the three got into the cab and disappeared. From the footboard of the cab, the last of the harlequins scrawled an obscene figure and a sentence on one of the slates of the pier shed. Trevor Onnes saw the sentence. It was virtually predictable. It said, "The last of the letters of the name has been uttered."
Afterwards, he examined the small room of Griffiths Ginsburg. On the floor, there was a brusque star of blood. In the corners, traces of cigarettes of a Hungarian brand. In a cabinet, a book in Latin, the Philologus Hebraeo Graecius, 739 of Leusden, with several manuscript notes. Trevor Onnes looked it over with indignation and had Lönnrot located. The latter, without removing his hat, began to read while the inspector was interrogating the contradictory witnesses to the possible kidnapping. At 4 o'clock, they left. Out on the twisted Rue de Toulon, as they were treading on the dead serpentines of the dawn, Trevor Onnes said,
"And what if all this business tonight were just a mock rehearsal?" Eric Lönnrot smiled and with all gravity read a passage which was underlined from the 33rd dissertation of the Philologus.
Deus judicorum incipit ad solus occasu.
My fingernails grow on my fingers, and my fingers are fixed firmly to my hand. It is my hand that terminates my arm. And that sticks to my shoulder like a charm. My shoulder is a portion of my trunk. I hope no prostitute, however drunk, would end the shocking sequel. Yet we find, even in England, men of evil mind, pornographers who love obscene details, shameless enough to mention fingernails.
Usque ad solos acasum die sequentis. This means the Hebrew day begins at sundown and lasts until the following sundown.
Is that fact the most valuable one you've come across tonight?
No. Even more valuable was a word that Ginsburg used.
The afternoon papers did not overlook the periodic disappearances. La Cruz de la Espada contrasted them with the admirable discipline and order of the last Hermetical Congress.
Ernst Palast in El Martir criticized the intolerable delays in this clandestine and frugal program, which has taken 3 months to murder three Jews.
The Yiddisher Zeitung rejected the horrible hypothesis of an anti-Semitic plot, even though many penetrating intellects admit no other solution to the triple mystery.
The most illustrious gunman of the South, Dandy Red Scarlatch, swore that in his district similar crimes could never occur, and he accused Inspector Franz Trevor Onnes of culpable negligence.
Skirmished in a battle, though somewhat larger than Trenton. This, too, is a victory for the American cause. And in this battle, we get another picture.
Lunch, we'd have sex instead of eating. As soon as we got home, we'd have sex. We'd goof around the evening. We'd have sex before we went to bed. That's the life I lived for a couple of years.
No wonder you got married to her.
Yeah, no kidding. It was great. It was really great. At that time, I bought a new company. It was a multi-million-dollar company. I had 11 employees of my own. I bought another company with 60-something, and we added a new line. I asked her to marry me at that time, and she was a little hesitant, which I should have seen as a red flag, but she did say yes. First year of marriage was great. I was a multi-millionaire. I had every toy, huge house. I started giving what little power I did have in the relationship away at this point. Everything we bought, furniture-wise, decoration-wise, house-wise, was what she wanted. The only room that was remotely mine was my office, which had a little computer and a ton of books, and she complained about it incessantly. But on the outside, everything else was, I mean, you can't believe a young couple could have so much. Everybody thought we were the perfect couple. We did travel once or twice a month. We went to Europe a few times. We'd go to exotic resorts and spend the weekend. I mean, that was just our thing. Friday evening, hop on a plane, we're in a resort, we come back Monday or Tuesday.
So in other words, you continued the pattern of violence and attention right into marriage.
Exactly.
You figured you'd have to really keep it up then.
Yeah. And actually, what was really bad is her attitude started changing. When we started dating, she was so thankful that I was able to do these things for her and show her a life that she never had. Actually, you'd slap me if I did this now. I used to run up $500 to $1,000 a month flower bills. I had a florist that had an account just for me that I would write a check once a month, and every couple of days I sent my beautiful wife a dozen roses or a couple dozen roses or orchids or, I mean, I had fresh flowers delivered to her constantly. At first, it's incredibly charming. Over time, it goes from impressing her to her expecting, and then expecting and demanding more, and then even believing so much that it's her God-given right that I do these types of things and that she has access to all of my assets and has access to the house, or that she decides where we go, what we do, how it's going to go. And I fell in line with her. But after my son was born, she was really withdrawn and a little bit depressed about the child and the change in her lifestyle. At that time, I knew my marriage was in trouble. I don't know how to describe it, but I knew I had lost control. My wife was not as attracted to me as she had been. Telecommunications, which was what my industry in engineering and manufacturing was going downhill. And money started getting a little tight. Now, I say money getting a little tight. I had $250,000 salary, and I was worth several million dollars net worth. I started cutting that back slightly, kind of trimming the fat off the edges. So, I mean, we were still living way above anybody in my family, anybody in her family, and any of our friends. She still became more and more withdrawn. I started reading everything I could read to try to get my wife's attention back. I read all of the how to romance your woman and 101 ways to be romantic and how to communicate with your spouse and how to save a marriage. And I read all of that. I went to marriage building classes with my wife. I went to counseling with my wife. And the advice that I was always given was the same thing. I need to be more understanding. I need to be more supportive. I need to open up more. Yet when I would try to talk to her and communicate with her, she would get sullen, withdrawn, didn't want to talk. Sex was non-existent at this point. I mean, I went from just having the greatest sex life to not having a sex life.
Not with her, anyway.
Well, no. See, I'm
solitary sex life.
I believe in being loyal, which means I spend a lot of time in a shower.
That's what I mean. Is that I meant with yourself. Yeah.
Exactly. But it just continued to go downhill.
To paraphrase, it sounds like you started becoming less and less like a man and more like a woman in her life.
Yeah, well, exactly. I tried to feel. There's a cultural mindset about how gentlemen are supposed to act to woo and romance a woman. It's wrong. It's completely wrong. In my experience, I would never go back and give that up if I couldn't keep what I had today.
I think that our moms maybe started some of this too.
You know,
and they're pretty big influences on us.
Possibly, but even my dad, I mean, my parents got married and they're still married. My mom was 17, my dad was 21. They've been married ever since. Well, my dad was the guy about buy flowers and romance them. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I guess that's what he did in the early 60s, late 50s. Actually, most girls don't ever see me on a Friday night because Friday night's my guy night. But I start with something you had actually recommended, with coffee. I mean, there's so many different times and so many different ways that I meet girls, it's hard to say that every time I do this way. But if I walk up and I approach a girl and I get a girl's number, and I, you know, maybe it worked then. I don't know. Honestly, I don't know how my parents would stay together anyway.
Could probably go into a whole psychological analysis of it and find all kinds of interesting things.
Action always works with feeling. Think of the last action you did. Well, I'm mindlessly, you see. I got in the car and drove to work. It was Friday, like every other day. I drove to work. I absent-mindedly drove to work. I don't remember going through the bridge, or I don't remember passing this intersection. I don't remember. Well, I got in the car and went on Blotto and all of a sudden showed up at work. There, I took an action without thinking, without feeling. Did you now? What was happening while you were Blotto? You were probably thinking about, thank God it's Friday, yes. And I can't wait for the weekend, and I hope the weather's nice, and I wonder what this is, and I wonder what that is. And indeed, you were thinking and feeling. Maybe not about driving, but you were thinking and you were feeling. You cannot act without doing both. So those who tell you to stop thinking, don't think, just feel, are telling you to do something you cannot do, which is, of course, the crazy make of metaphysics. Think, and don't feel, others tell you. Don't feel, just think about it. You can't do that either. You must do both. And in order to act, both are part of you. The action and the feeling are together. Understanding. By this we mean the intellectual awareness. That's what understanding is. Understand. I understand this, I understand that. I understand how clocks work and how watches tick and how this happens and how that happens. That's understanding. It doesn't speak to the meaning of something, the significance of it, the importance of it. It just speaks to the mechanized function of it. The intellectual awareness. Understanding. One could say intellectual awareness, but understanding is a more appropriate word.
I'm locked outside my own game. I can't get me in or it out.
Fucking cunt! Some fucking twat! Do you think I'm gonna have that? Do you really think I'm gonna have that? My fucking ears were burning all the way fucking back in the fucking cab! Fucking on fire!
What happened, Doc? What happened? What fucking happened? I'll tell you what fucking happened. You tell me, gal. You tell me what fucking happened. Give me a fucking knockback, you fat fucking cunt.
Problem with the plane, Doc?
What's that? What do you fucking say, cunt? What? Problem? Fucking problem? No, mate, no. No fucking problem with the plane, cunt. Fucking plane was fine. Fucking plane was all right. Fucking plane was perfect. It's you. You're the problem. You're the fucking problem. You fucking Dr. White, onking, jamrag, arking, spunk bubble, I'm telling you, H. You keep looking at me, I'm going to put you in the fucking ground. I promise you.
Dave, take Jackie and H inside.
Yeah. Can I get you a drink?
Yeah, you do that, you scheming cunt! See if the ladies let you try one of their panty girdles!
You fucking...
Don.
Shut up! Shut up!
Not this time, girl. Not this time. Not this fucking time.
No! No, 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 no! No! No, 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 no! No! Not this fucking time! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! No fucking way! You made me look a right cunt!
Look a right fucking Mr. Confused! What's he doing? What's Jackie gonna think to that? Not that I care. I'm not into her anymore. That's your fault fucking me about. Is your middle name ungrateful or what? Ain't you got nothing to say? Just gonna stand there like Porky Pig. Hiding behind your wife's skirt. Your ex-porn star's wife's skirt. I don't give two fucks what Jackie Big Tits thinks about me coming back. She can think what she fucking likes. I've got enough fucking information on her. So if she's got a pretty face, that could all change. Age changes that. I'm looking forward to seeing her when she's 70. See if she's still coming the cunt, the face like a wrinkled prune. Can't fucking wait. Age to be well gone by then. I'm gonna kill you, girl. I'm gonna fucking kill him.
Thank you.
balancing the budget.
Get me a ticket for an aeroplane. Got to get on the Wheel of Fortune game. I just got to win, spin the wheel again. Oh, Vanna, pick me a letter.
Bankrupt? What do you mean bankrupt?
I don't care how much money I got to spend. Can't stand to look at Fat Sajak again. Won't throw in the towel till I buy a vowel. Oh, Vanna, pick me a letter.
Hey, ma'am, what do you mean there's no effing phone?
Vanna, pick me a letter. No one does it any better. I dream about you.
Hey, Vanna, is that an all-over 10 or what?
Vanna, I don't understand why you make $100,000. Not for me to say. Anyway, get me a ticket for an aeroplane. Gonna be on the Wheel of Fortune game. I just got to win, spin the wheel again. Oh, Vanna, pick me a letter.
Go, Vanna, go, baby, go, all right.
Country, the heat wave. Nation's been right in the middle of it. And people everywhere, of course, have their own way of beating the heat. What are these ways? Well, we'll try to find out as we meet our first man in the street. And there he is.
It's of course, Gordon Hathaway, and I'm from Manhattan, and I'm a cold front moving down from the north. Hi, ho, Severino.
Hello, Gordon.
Yes.
Are you ready for tonight's question about the heat wave?
Heat wave? We're having a heat wave. I guess that song's had it for this week.
I think so, yes.
So what's the question, almighty Tarzan of the airwaves?
Was a kind of master at transforming situations like this. And he would often bring me and some friends into bars and places like that where it's very seedy. And to him it seemed the seedier the better in some ways. And you walk in, and at that point, before I had really worked with him, I was a super pure yogi, super vegetarian, no one touch me, always wear white, you know, meditate 5 hours a day kind of fascist person. And so, you know, to go into a bar and drink alcohol, first of all, I hadn't drank in a long time, but to drink alcohol, to smoke cigarettes, which he would insist on, and he had trained us in how to drink and conduct the energy and stay full. So by this time, we know how to stay totally full. Even when we're drunk on our ass, we don't waver. We know how to breathe. We know how to stay strong. We'd go to these places, and he would convert them into these temples, essentially. Not, he would just start, you know, a waitress would come to the table, and he'd, you know, you're very beautiful. But he'd say it from such an open-hearted place. You know, at first she's hit on all the time, so it's like, yeah, yeah. You know, and he'd say it in a way that it's impossible to replicate. He'd say it in a way that she actually understood. You know, have you ever felt... He used different words. You know, have you ever felt the great one in your heart? You know, and she'd at first be a little shy, and then she'd be like, yeah, I have. And he'd go, I know you have. And then she'd come back with the next round of drinks a little later, and he'd say, you know, your heart's shining. She'd say, thank you. And soon, like 45 minutes later, we had a goddess serving us. She had been, her truth had been praised so much. Her heart had been recognized. Everyone else is, you know, like, hey, baby. And here's this guy actually, I mean, he certainly would fuck her, but he's fucking her with his consciousness. He's opening her heart, and she loves it. So he would convert these situations into this. So it's our responsibility as men who are practicing toward the third stage to convert all of these situations.
Hope deferred maketh thee something sick. Who said that?
Why don't you help me?
Sometimes I feel it coming all the same, and then I go all peculiar. How shall I say? Relieved, and at the same time, appalled.
Understanding and conception. To conceive, eh? What does it mean to conceive? Very few people know. At best, people think, have a baby. Yes. That's conceiving. Yes, it is. That's true. That you're on the right track. What's having a baby? Making something out of nothing. Yes. When a person conceives, and when two people come together to conceive, they are making something out of something else. Out of an egg and a sperm comes a fetus who is occupied by a spirit that becomes a human being. But it's a brand new human being. And as much as everybody tries to say you look like somebody else, in fact, you look like you. You don't really have grandmother's eyes. What a morbid thought. This poor old grandmother, eh? What happened? What happened? Oh, the new baby got your eyes. I'm sorry, Grandma. You have your eyes, yes, and your nose, and each of your body parts is your own. You didn't really get them from anybody else. That's conception. All right, but how does one translate that beyond giving birth? To babies. What about ideas? How about conceiving an idea? Oh, yeah. No, we didn't say plagiarizing an idea. We didn't say taking someone else's idea and putting your stamp on it and saying it's mine. We said creating an idea.
Okay. Let's turn on the TV.
How many of you have conceived something?
No fucking way. No fucking way. You made me look a right cunt.
Aristocrats live on the past because they come of noble family. And they're like potatoes because the best part of them is underground. The proletariat live in the present because they have nothing else. And the poor bourgeoisie live for the future. They are the eternal suckers.
I don't know what I should tell you.
Oh, come, Vagina, be open with me.
Take it from the horse's mouth, dear partner.
Oh, Walter.
For here I stand, stuffed like an anchovy with last night's capers.
Pimentos of the future.
I can't believe I dreamt the whole thing.
Your images make my mouth action for water.
Let's eat.
Urethra, diarrhea, run to the kitchen.
Let the fools go!
With its head, she said without even looking round. I'll fetch the executioner myself, said the king eagerly.
Watergate break-in. I authorized subordinates to engage in illegal campaign tactics. I accept full responsibility for the break-in and bugging of the Democratic National Headquarters and other campaign abuses. Let me explain to you what I did about Watergate after the break-in occurred. I took part in the subsequent cover-up activities. My effort throughout has been burglary and bugging of party headquarters, obstructing justice, harassing individuals, and compromising those agencies of government that should be above politics. We, of course, must be extremely careful in the way we go about this. I shall continue to subvert the institutions of government by unlawful means. How to carry out this duty is often a delicate question. That is the simple truth.
International, Amal Nitro's Soviet Surplus Floating Fortress of Fun. The famous five-ring sensual circus of the sea aboard the once dangerous, now fabulous aircraft carrier, Stalyagi.
You hope, okay? I mean,
we got to face up. The blacks need a chance to catch up. And the other thing, Mr. Henry, is because traditionally whites have had it easy, Michael Jackson's trying to bleach out, but I think he should restain because it's really blacks that should have it easier.
He was always a weekend warrior, you know, he was always a partier. He was one of the worst dolphins that I've ever had anything to do with. So by the time I got to New York, this was like the office had all the signs of a combination of drug use and a failing business. Like there were bills everywhere and there were all these odd objects laying in strange places. And Slava himself was in the room, which was his room. And he basically didn't like leaving that room. His mother died maybe an hour before I got there.
And so I hugged him, but he seemed kind of flaccid and unaffected. He basically straightforwardly told me that he could not deal with the funeral, and would I take care of this for him. I don't know if you can say no to something like this. I couldn't. So I said yes, and he basically gave me the parameters, which were... He said he had no money. Apparently, he spent the whole $2 million on drugs and alligator shoes. But he wanted the best of everything. And also, Nonna became a religious Jew towards the end of her life. And he told me that according to her beliefs, as long as she remains unburied, she's suffering. So, best of everything, as cheaply as possible, immediately, basically, is what he was asking for. And I've never buried anybody before, so I said, okay, fine, sounds reasonable to me. Now, the next day, I'm trying to organize this funeral and calling around, trying to get, like, the bottom line on everything. It was a lot like producing a low-budget movie, really. You know, you, like, spend a lot of time on the phone. Except with low-budget movie, you always tell them, well, you wait, you know, after this project. And then the next one's going to be really good. But with a funeral, you can't do that. So, I basically got the cheapest deals on the coffin and on the rabbi. I got a deal on the rabbi. He sounded a little weird, the rabbi, because he seems like he had all these other jobs that he was doing concurrently with being a rabbi. And he asked me if I had any children or if I was planning to get married, as if, like a good man, he was trying to help me to, you know, buy wholesale. And so, finally, I locked down the rabbi and I told him the basic facts of Nona's life for his eulogy. I got the coffin, and then I found the cemetery towards the end of the day. But I wanted Slava to sign off on the cemetery, so I, like, begged him to come out of the room. Then Slava came out looking like, oh, I have to do everything myself.
There isn't much of a future. You're going to die. They transpose the future into a spiritual dimension. And they figure
this material world is not the real world, but the spiritual world is the real world.
And he hurried off. Alice thought she might as well go back and see how the game was going on. And she heard the Queen's voice in the distance, screaming with passion. She had already heard her sentence three of the players to be executed for having missed their turns, and she did not like the look of things at all, as the game was in such confusion that she never knew whether it was her turn or not. So she went off in search of her hedgehog.
It seems he's a liar, because he lies continuously. But if you remark, everything he says becomes real history. So he doesn't lie about the present and past, like liars do, usually. He lies about the future. So he's a visionary.
Hey, Bob, did you ever have the thing where, you know, when you swim in the ocean, you feel like you're still in the ocean at night? I always got this thing from drawing that, like, I would still feel like I was drawing, like, in bed when I was trying to sleep.
Like night. Ghost drawing?
Yeah.
Somewhere, somehow, an eternal life for me. A charge to keep I have, a God to glorify, a never dying soul to save and fit it for the sky.
Don't you show me up.
No, I won't be there.
You will. You missed the Roundtree.
No.
Yes, Roundtree.
No.
Yes, Grosvenor.
No, Don.
Friday.
I won't be there.
You will.
No, Don.
Yes, 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 yes.
Don, stop kidding ourselves. Eh? We both know the reason you're here. And it's not just because of me.
What do you say?
It's not just because of me.
What are you talking about?
You didn't come here just because of me.
I find this astonishing. You're amazing. This is astounding. Repeat.
Let's be honest. This is about Jackie.
I come over here for professional reasons, nothing else. On a professional mission. I've got to get a team together, I've got to handpick a team. And I had you in mind for that team. But quite frankly, your attitude appalls me. It's not what you're saying. It's all the stuff you're not saying. Insinuendos. You really are demonstrating some whopping great ego, my friend. I'll keep that in check, can't we, you? Because that sort of beginning is to be a right turn off. Now, if no one did the job, fair enough, I can accept that, but we'll leave it at that. And considering what I know about you and the outrageousness of what's going on inside your head, whatever stinky thoughts you're having, which I don't really know, because I'm so disgusting. Fucking hell. I would like to leave now, this minute, please. Give me a taxi.
Remember?
M-A-R-X I-S.
That's right, sing along.
TV Family.
And then Cosmos with a K, not C. K Cosmos with a K is an old Greek term where it meant all of reality and not just physical reality, which is what Cosmos with a C usually means now.
I've said a few other places that I think a son's relationship with his father, particularly, but with both your parents, it's your most closely observed relationship. It's the relationship you watch every single day. You know, about how to tie your shoes. You know, how to walk. You know, how to address people, how to treat people. I mean, you're learning all those things and you internalize them. And I think that's, as parents, you know, you can forget how closely you're being watched. You're being watched so closely, you know. And that stuff goes in and it lays deep, you know, and it's there forever. And I think that, along with a lot of, I think you tend to write about things that you're trying to sort out. You know, I think you're trying to write about things that you don't understand and you want to understand. And so you're working on something to help you understand what that was all about. You know, who were you? Who was he? That's a big part of what writing does. I think, you know, a lot of if that's where it comes out of that particular fire, you know.
그대는 나의 형벌. 그대는 나의 형벌.
Think, babe! Stop!
Woman.
Stop! Think! Really?
Given the
the existence as uttered forth in the public works of Puncher and Whatman of a personal guard.
Quack, 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 quack.
With white beard. Outside time, without extension, who from the heights of divine apathia, divine athambia, divine aphasia, loves us dearly, with some exceptions, for reasons unknown, but time will tell, and suffers, like the divine Miranda, with those who, for reasons unknown, but time will tell, are plunged in torment, plunged in fire, whose fire flames, if that continues, and who can doubt it will fire the firmament, that is to say, blast hell to heaven so blue, still and calm, so calm, with a calm which is no intermittent, it's better than nothing, but not so
Well, then, they say to them, what are you going to do there? Well, they haven't the faintest idea.
Other than a baby, who have sat down with nothing and created something unique, something new, something unlike anything else has ever been. Oh, those are what inventors do. Those are what those geniuses do. And that's what people can do if you allow yourself to work with understanding. If you understand how something works, you can conceive something new. If you can conceive something new, you can understand how it works. Conception and understanding always work together.
Is it lowrider? All right, lowrider! Forget the letter, man. I'll take Vanna White. You're beautiful, baby.
You and me could play the home game.
Got me a ticket for an aeroplane. All right! I'm on the Wheel of Fortune game. I just love that sound. I'm in the bonus round. Hey, Vanna, pick me a letter. Lose a turn. Hey, Pat, lose this. Vanna, pick me a letter. No one does it any better. I dream.
You really can't understand fully without also having at least a smidgen of conception. A light goes on, yes? When we talk to you about ideas and we talk to you and you piece them together, here's step 1 through 7 and here's 1 through 4 and here's how this works and here's how that works, etc. You can take in that information. You can take in that understanding. But if you stop there, that's all you've got. And then it comes out as, well, Lazarus says this and Lazarus says that and Lazarus says and Lazarus says and aye, 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 aye. But if you take the understanding that we have explained to you and you put it in here and let it come in from understanding to expression to feeling and to bring it down into your guts, then all of a sudden that understanding can bang, turn on a light. Oh my gosh, I realized something brand new out of that. Something was there more than what was said. And then excitedly as we talk, you tell us yes and we wink and we talk to you about it. Yes, of course, bravo. You can see it that yourself. That's where conception comes in. It's part of the understanding. And some of you will have brilliant flashes of conception. Bang! Something will all of a sudden gestalt, make sense, fit together in a way that it never has for anybody ever on the entire planet or the history of the planet, and bang! And out of that will come myriads of understanding.
Up in the air, just like that angel, too far off the earth to pick out the details. Lewis and his big ideas. Big ideas are all you love. America is what Lewis loves.
So what? Maybe I do. You don't know what I love. You don't.
I hate America, Lewis. I hate this country. Nothing but a bunch of big ideas and stories and people dying and then people like you. The white cracker who wrote the national anthem knew what he was doing. He set the word free to a note so high nobody could reach it. That was deliberate. Nothing on earth sounds less like freedom to me. You come with me to room 1013 over at the hospital, Lewis. I'll show you America. Terminal, crazy, and mean. I live in America, Lewis. I don't have to love it. You do that. Everybody's got to love something.
Everybody does.
They work together, and the final true meaning, which is the meaning of life, the significance, the importance, the larger picture, the big picture, and perception. Similarly, they always work together. You cannot come to understanding without perceiving something more, and you cannot come to perceiving something more without the sense of meaning. So what's interesting here is that the structure of the balance is archetypally already there. There is the perfect maleness, the perfect femaleness, and the perfect union of these two. It is already there. The model, the mold, the pattern, the exemplary way of being is already there in the archetype of male, in the archetype of female, and in the archetype of whole, of wholeness. Well, that's all well and good, and it is important to understand, to allow conception. It is important to begin to understand and relate to these particulars, to begin to put it together and piece it together. And therefore, as we proceed in our pursuit of this elusive thing called balance, we need to look at how do you encounter these particular archetypal energies. How do you engage yourself in the mold? Well, let's leave the words there, perhaps. Start with the mind. How you develop and encounter the idyllic maleness and the idyllic femaleness. In the primitive state, and therefore doesn't really apply to many of you here, a man will first seek will and action. He will seek that energy to have a will and action.